Leave the plaza. A swarm of brightly attired socialites emerged from the night, attended by pets, servitors, and float cams, looking for all the world like a procession of medieval saints, served by cherubim and seraphim. A pair of baroquely ornamented bronze palanquins followed, both no larger than a child's coffin, with a more austere model trailing some distance behind, a hard-edged grey box with a tiny grilled window set into the front. It had no manipulators, and I could hear its motors labouring, leaving a greasy trail behind it. I had a plan, but not much of one. I'd mingle with the party and try and find out if any of them knew Zebra. From there I could work out a way of getting to her, even if it meant forcing one of them to take me there by cable car. The party halted, and I watched as a man with a head like a crescent moon removed a cachet of dream fuel vials from a pocket. He did it carefully, trying to make sure general passers-by wouldn't see what he had, but not attempting to hide the fuel from the rest of the party. I melted into the shadows, satisfied that no one had noticed me until then. The other members of the party clustered around the man, and I saw the gleam of wedding guns and less ceremonial syringes, both men and women in the party tugging down collars to plunge steel into skin. The two child-sized palanquins remained with the group, but the plainer one was circling the party, and I saw one or two of the people in the group eye it nervously, even as they waited to spike themselves with fuel. The grey palanquin wasn't part of the group. I'd just come to that conclusion when it halted, the front of the palanquin wheezing open, belching vapour from its hinges, and a man almost stumbling out. Someone in the party screamed and pointed at him, and in an instant the party as a whole had fallen back. Even the miniature palanquins raced away from the man. There was something terribly wrong with him. Down one half of his naked body he was deceptively normal, as cruelly handsome and young as any in the party he'd approached, but the other half of him was submerged in a glistening growth that locked him rigid, countless branching filaments of silver-grey piercing his flesh, radiating outwards for tens of centimetres until they became only an indistinct grey haze. As he shuffled forward, the haze of filaments made a constant, barely audible tinkling noise, as tiny shards detached themselves like seeds. The man tried to speak, but what came out of his lopsided mouth was only an appalling moan. "Burn him!" someone in the party shouted. "For God's sake, burn him!" "The brigade are on their way already," someone else said. The man with the moon-shaped head stepped a little closer to the plague victim, brandishing a single, nearly exhausted vial. "Is this what you want?" The plague victim moaned something, still stumbling closer. He must have risked it, I thought, retaining his implants while not taking the proper precautions to protect himself. Perhaps he'd chosen a cheap palanquin that lacked the hermetic security of a more expensive model. Or perhaps he'd only taken to the device after the plague had reached him, hoping that the spread would be slower if he were barriered from further exposure. "Here, take this and leave us all alone quickly. The brigade won't take long to get here." The moon-faced man threw him the vial. The plague victim lunged forward to try and grab it with his good arm. He missed, and the vial shattered on the ground, leaking its reserve of fuel. But the plague victim fell forwards anyway, hitting the ground so that his face almost touched the small scarlet puddle. The impact raised a grey cloud of shattered extrusions from his body, but I couldn't tell if the moan he emitted at that point was pleasure or pain. With his good arm, he clawed a few drops of fuel towards his mouth, while the party looked on with horror and fascination.